HPPodcraft.com.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to Strange Studies of Strange Stories. I am Chris Lackey.
And I am Chad Pfeiffer. We're here at HPPodcraft.com and Patreon. And Chris, it sounds like you're fighting your way through some kind of dense material or something, Chris. Strange Studies. Straight like when Batman got poisoned or something, you know.
Yeah.
I can't.
Well, here's the thing. I have been poisoned, and it's going to kill me in 30 minutes exactly. So I've got to get through the show before I can take the antidote.
Perfect.
So
well, that'll be a good clock for us. I know that we have hit our... I know that we've gone 30 minutes when you're dead. Perfect.
No, wait. I want to take the antidote after we're recording.
All right, I mean take the antidote. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah. So we'll make sure not to hit 30. Well, exactly. We didn't do any prep, folks. This is just like last week. We're going to talk about this and that. Doing these two episodes this way, it shaves off a few days here and there for us work-wise and cumulatively gives us a little recharge time, which as this airs, I think we'll be taking at that point. I don't know.
Yeah, oh yeah.
It's kind of moving it around. This is Strange Studies of Strange Stories, so we do need some kind of strange stories to appear in the episode. I have my copy here of Jan Harald Brunvand's Encyclopedia of Urban Legends. Mm-hmm. Right before we jumped on here, I grabbed it, picked some stories at random. I did scan to make sure they were suitable for all listeners, which meant the first two I found, I had to ditch immediately. Because a lot of these are about weird sex stuff and really gross things. But still, I have some random picks here that we'll get to. Now, last time we talked about the bullet baby.
Yes, we did.
I was going to come on here and pretend that, you know, just for a little callback, that I went on Ancestry.com and found out I was a bullet baby. But this actually wrapped up into a larger question for me, which is, how long can you pretend to be stupid before it's not funny anymore? As a comedic principle.
Pretend to be stupid. Well, I mean,
because clearly nobody's going to think I actually think that.
No. But I mean, like, look, Rose, Golden Girls, that's her shtick. I mean, that show was on for 8 years. She's still funny. It's a funny character.
That's true. But she's more of an innocent. And she has other kinds of intelligences. She's very emotionally intelligent.
She does, yeah. I mean, just generally, I mean, if you're stupid for good comedic effect, like if you ask the right dumb question, then it's funny.
Well, it's definitely funny when somebody's stupid. But I'm thinking of, remember, we had a conversation about this, about the American version of The Office. There was an episode where Michael Scott followed his GPS and drove the car into a body of water.
Right.
It's funny as I'm thinking about it right now, though, so maybe I'm wrong. But at the time, I went, that's just a bridge too far, because he seems halfway. He gets all these other things done in his life that would indicate he has some vestigial intelligence that he wouldn't, like, drive into a body of water because the computer told him to. As funny a concept as that is.
Yeah.
So at the time,
I remember
it made
that
me mad.
Being not funny and thinking, like, he's not brain damaged. It's not like he's...
Yeah,
he can get through life. He just not very smart, and he makes some dumb mistakes. But when you see a body of water, and just because the GPS says to drive that way, that he would, what does he think is going to happen? Obviously, it was a bridge too far for me. I didn't think it was funny.
That's what I'm saying.
He wasn't funny. He wasn't stupid in the right way.
Also, Rose reveals later that she's a drug addict. So that means every episode that you're watching, I'm not kidding.
No.
She's hiding a whole secret life.
Yes, I know.
So some of that innocence,
a drug
is bull
episode.
Roar.
Yeah.
When does
there's
that
some heavy
come?
Hidden stuff in that, man. There's lots of real drama that goes on. I know it's a sitcom, but they get heavy. Well, I remember Maude.
It was the 80s. It was a heavier time for sitcoms.
Well, Maude, Bea Arthur's previous show, there's an episode where she gets an abortion. And that's from the 70s, which was huge. You know, that was a big deal. And that was a sitcom.
Yeah, wasn't it on like I Love Lucy, they couldn't say the word pregnant?
Oh, no?
Yeah, I think that's, I'm just to say how far it's come.
Yeah.
In a short amount of time, as people got more and more used to television and stopped worrying about it, legislating morality. You couldn't say the word pregnant in their bedroom. It was twin beds, right? They didn't want to show a double bed because that implied sexuality. And then now I think about, I keep saying this, but I turned on primetime television and Hannibal was on, and it was like a guy had half alive people he buried in his garden that he was keeping alive on a drip IV so he could grow mushrooms out of their bodies. And they showed an image of them pulling one of the arms out, and I think it's burned into my brain. I can't imagine if I was a kid and saw that would have happened. Yeah. So definitely standards have fallen.
Yeah.
In terms of that stuff. And then, of course, you know, we've talked about a few times, Carol Brady committing all those murders on the Brady Bunch. There was that time that someone's head got punched off on Family Ties. I can't remember.
Yeah.
Was it Mallory's head that got punched off? Yeah, because Nick was really sad. He was like, Mallory, what happened?
Yeah. It was her friend Trudy, I think, was. She's the one that punched her head off. That was the crossover episode, remember?
Yeah, yeah, I remember that.
Facts of Life.
There was the one where Skippy and Mallory got caught in the basement. They were trapped down there, and Skippy tried to eat Mallory's arm.
Well, he didn't. Well, he didn't try to. He ate part of it. I mean, he ate half of it before they found it, before they were discovered. So he
ate half of it before they even got trapped. So that was weird behavior on Skippy's part to begin with. But you raise a good question. It's something I wanted to talk about today, which is, if you say someone's arm got eaten off, how much of the arm needs to actually be eaten off before you can use that?
Yeah.
Just randomly, I was going to. No, I'm kidding. let's move on to a story here.
All right. Yeah.
The Man on the Roof. This is a short one.
Mm-hmm.
This widely traveled story has been told since at least the 1960s. Here's an example from Reuters. A man was badly injured Saturday when his wife drove off to go shopping and towed him from the roof where he had been fixing tiles. Oh. As a safety measure, the man had tied a rope around his waist and asked a boy on the ground to attach it to something secure. That's a pretty good one. And I was, you know, I think these urban legends are always about something. And there's a lot of things going on in that one. The wife is going off shopping. Important detail, I guess. I mean, why does it matter why she pulled the car out? But
sure.
I think it's I could see this story popping out as a, you know, my wife's a real battle axe. Well, let me tell you something I heard. This wife was so dim-witted that this happened, right?
Yeah.
Wow. I could see it falling into some stories like that.
Well, there's elements to it that make it sound unbelievable. Like, who's this random kid that he had tie his rope onto something?
Yeah, yeah. That's supposed very, to save like, his life. Movie 1930s reality. Like, there's always a boy. There's a random boy around. Here, come here, boy. Let me give you a quote. You know, it's sort of that tiny, go off and buy a newspaper for me, boy.
Yeah, so some kid playing with a stick or a hoop.
So there's that fear of the neighborhood youth or kids as well. But I think overall that story's about household accident anxieties, which is such a real thing.
Oh, sure.
Since tons of people die every year because of just something dumb that happens around the house.
Oh, God.
Isn't that, and it's just, I've always known that. I think about it a lot now because I cook a lot and I garden a lot. And in both of those activities, I'm often just holding a really sharp knife in my hand. And I just am so scared that someday I'm going to make a gesture or go up to scratch my forehead or something and just jab that thing right into my own eye, you know?
Yeah, I have that worry as well that I'm going to slip or fall or just be not paying attention. But I want to go back. Did you say that you garden with a knife?
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, I should explain. There's a person that gardens for me, and I threaten them with a knife. Oh, okay. No, I'm kidding. No, I have shears because I clip wildflowers, and I'm taking, you know, the shears, yeah.
I just, in my mind, when
Let
you
said...
Let
me explain my process. It's usually the first step is threaten somebody. So there's a lot of threatening going on.
Yeah, yeah. That's an interesting story. I haven't heard that one before.
No, I haven't either.
So in Los Angeles, I used to live there.
You did.
I didn't go for walks very often or hikes. That's a thing I do a lot here now. But I think it's because the weather is much more temperate than it was in Los Angeles, because it's usually pretty oppressively warm. And so,
really?
Oh, yeah.
That's not my experience. I think it's, I mean, we go hiking here on the, where did you go hiking in Los Angeles? Because if you were up in Runyon Canyon or something, it definitely would feel that way.
Yeah. But
these
over
hikes
by
over here, like Griffith, Will Rogers and stuff, are great.
By Griffith Park. That's where I went a bunch of times. So that kind of wooded area over by the Hollywood sign and, that.
Well, the climate there is more to your kind of, you know, goth, dark soul nature, isn't it? In general, you're not really a sunny. You were never like a come down to the beach kind of guy.
No, I never was.
That's the first thing people think of when they think about this area. Although, as I said in the last episode, you wouldn't be going down to the beach. Did you leave that in about the...
Oh, yeah. You bet I left that in.
Oh, yeah. Of course you did. We're not editing these. Yeah, we're not editing. Anyway, not a good place to go now. In general, this pandemic's been pretty hard on this side of Los Angeles. And there's a huge homeless problem right now. Mm-hmm. And a lot of difficulty in just controlling... what's going on out there, because people aren't in as many public spaces and stuff. So I'm looking forward to in the next year or two when they can kind of clean things up a bit and get a handle on some of these issues. Because it's a really complicated issue. You know, I don't want to demonize people who are having problems, but...
Oh, God, no. No.
It's pretty unsafe in a lot of parts of the West Side right now. And sure. A little unrecognizable and lots of shuttered businesses that are becoming shelters. And so, yeah, it's pretty odd.
I want to rewind just a little bit to where you said... In the next couple of years, I hope they clean it up around here. Mm-hmm. I thought you were not going to be living there in a couple of years.
Well, who knows what'll happen? I'm just, I am considering moving because I love California, really.
Yeah.
I'm not one of these people that thinks one area is better than another, but I just really love the weather here.
It's so expensive to live in Los Angeles.
It is, yeah.
Your dollars would go so much further somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, I know you want me to move.
Yeah, well, I didn't... When I left for love and to be with my wife.
Yeah.
And that was the whole reason I was gone. But now, like, you and I have similar incomes.
Yes.
And I can see what I get for living where I live. Like,
No. That's what it is at the... Yeah.
The fact that your job, you have that luxury of doing this podcast. You could live anywhere. Yeah. You now have this power.
I feel that. Now, there are also so many other things going on in the world and in life and that sort of thing that I feel that the best way to make a big decision like that is to go ahead and throw it out into the universe that it's happening and then take your time in the doing of it. And that is the phase that I'm in right now. So it's probably going to happen, but I'm just not rushing into anything. I agree with you that I am powerful. That's what I picked up on from what you were saying there. I completely agree.
You are. You are. You really are. And it's just like, because for me, and Rachel and I, we've talked about this. There's this idea, we've gone, like, we could go anywhere. We were talking, you know, when Brexit was happening, we thought about going to Amsterdam or, you know, these dream places that we wanted to like, live.
The dreamlands.
It's expensive, the dreamlands. But it's expensive to go there, so your dollar isn't going to go as far. But we also have family here.
Well, that's influencing decision making for me as well. But again, let me just say this. If somebody has a haunted house.
Yes.
That I can live in rent free just because I'm not afraid of ghosts.
Yes. Please let us know.
Just let us know.
Or even cheap rent.
I'm not asking for much.
Well, you would do it for, if somebody said for $200 a month, you could live in this house, but it's haunted.
Yeah.
And the $200 is just basic tax money, you know, like that's the taxes and the utilities. You have to pay those because the person that owns the house needs some money, you know, coming in. But
that's fine, it's $200 an hour for ghost fighting. See, we can both play that game. Who's this landlord? You're tangling with the wrong customer. I know all the tricks. Here, CPR Annie legend. Have you ever heard of this?
No.
A beautiful young girl named Annie died for lack of anyone properly trained in CPR techniques to save her life. So,
oh my God.
Her wealthy father financed the development of a lifelike practice dummy for CPR training, stipulating that the face on the model should be that of his beloved daughter, and that all future dummies made on the design should be known as Annie's in her honor.
That's not true.
That is not true. Although the CPR dummy is known as Annie...
Yeah.
It says later in the entry here. The face was actually based on a death mask made from the body of an unidentified young woman found early this century floating in the Seine River in Paris. So, it is actually based off of somebody.
Whoa. Somebody that drowned.
This might have come up in an episode before. That rings a bell.
Somebody that could have benefited from CPR.
Yes, but like we want to make sure it's someone well dead so that nobody gets upset. Because can you imagine being like, oh, my cousin Annie died. I really feel like I got to throw myself into something to get over this grief. Maybe I'll take a CPR class. Oh, my God. It's Annie. Gotta avoid that.
Are you watching Loki? Have you been watching that Loki show?
I watched all of it, of course.
Oh, you've seen the whole thing?
Okay, I'm a Marvel maniac.
I don't want to spoil anything, but there's a funny bit, because I watch all the stuff on YouTube, all the spoil, you know, like the things like the Easter eggs and the, you know, like there's the, one bit you can see Thanos' helicopter from one of the, I think it was an ad. There's like an ad where Thanos is flying a helicopter, and on the helicopter it just says Thanos.
Oh, I saw that in there. Yeah, I thought that was rad.
That's actually in the show. I think it was for like a Duncan Hines ad or something, or I don't remember. But it's ridiculous, but they somehow shoehorned it in there. And one of the things a lot of people are talking about is Loki is gender fluid or bisexual. I think it's actually, he's bisexual is what it is.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're kind of making a little hay out of it. Like, oh boy, what's this mean? Are they going to really have this be a part of this character? Will he be with men? Will he be with women as well? And I'm like, well, I don't...
He's a god.
Well, Loki in the myth, I mean, I don't... Do you know about the Sleipnir? The horse. The eight-legged horse. Odin has this eight-legged horse.
Hold on, though. I want to hear this, but it was just funny the way you said that, because it was the same intonation as if you were asking me, you know, if I... Do you have Jesus in your life? It just sounded like you were about to pitch Norse religion on me.
Let me tell you about my Lord and Savior, Loki. No. So there was this builder dude who came to Asgard and was like, I can build a wall around Asgard. I don't remember the story exactly, so I'm probably getting details wrong, but basically this is the story. He says, I can build a wall around Asgard for you, and I can do it in less than a year. And everybody's like, Odin and Thor and all those guys are like, what? In less than a year? No, you can't do it. And he goes, bet you I can. And it's like, oh, it's a bet. It's on. If you can do it, then you get something awesome. I don't remember what it is. And it's going to really put us out. But if you can't do it, then something crappy is going to happen to you. And he's like, okay, sure. And so as the year goes on, this dude's got a workhorse. It's just a dude and a workhorse. And this dude starts building the wall. And as the year goes by, he's rocking it and getting it done. And Odin's like, we got to do something about this, because we're going to have to pay this guy a crap ton of money.
How funny.
So this is the plan that everybody's on board with. So they're like, well, he needs that horse. Loki goes, you know what? I think I could fix that. Loki turns into a female horse, seduces the horse, goes off into the woods with the horse, comes back pregnant.
Somebody must have shot one of the horses, passed through.
Loki comes back.
Wow, it's a myth within a myth.
A pregnant horse comes back, gives birth to this horse, who is Sleipnir, Odin's eight-legged steed. So Odin's riding around on his grandson, first of all. That's like bizarre and crazy. And so
eight-legged horse?
Loki is more than, you know, bisexual. He is like, he's trans... He's pansexual. He's turns into animals and has, you know, like.
Yeah. I think once you are not human, why are we even. Well, I know why, because people are looking for representation, I think, to an extent. But it's just like, to me, not a surprise that somebody who's a god from outer space is having sex with all kinds of things.
Yeah. I just think, you know, that they should go a little more firm with it. They should have Loki turn into a horse at some point and get pregnant.
I agree with you 100%. I want to see it too. I don't want it to be like in your story where it went off into the woods and I was like, what happened? And there was a mystery. Was it a bullet baby? Did they really do it? I want it dramatized.
A bullet baby.
And even if it transforms into an animal, it's got to be Tom Hiddleston somehow.
Did you see when somebody took the footage from what's the Chuck Norris, Bruce Lee, where they fight? What movie is that? It's not Enter the Dragon, is it?
No, it's Return of the Dragon or...
Well, somebody took the beginning of that fight scene and they put Careless Whispers over it. And it's just, it is gold. Because they disrobe in front of each other, looking in each other's eyes.
Yes, they do. And then there's a cat involved, too. That fight is actually purposely funny. The director is... There's a thing where they come... Whoosh, whip into Bruce Lee's eyes, whoosh, whip into Chuck Norris' eyes. Then there's like a cat watching and it goes whoosh, into the cat. So they had a sense of humor about it. So yeah. I could see how that would be really funny, though. I like that movie. I watched that on video a lot when I was young, when I was subscribed to Inside Karate Magazine and all of the really irresponsible things you could order out of the back of that.
Oh, my God. Ninja stars, swords.
Swords, anything you wanted.
Anything.
No problem.
The only thing that stopped me from getting those was lack of money.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but I enjoyed it. I thought Loki was fun. And, you know,
you reminded me of because somebody actually wrote in about the Colossus and said, I assume that these other characters are from other Clark Ashton Smith stories. Not really. Istarel is from a fragment that was called The Sorceress of Averon, right, or something mm-hmm. like that.
Yeah.
It wasn't a finished story, but this character was sketched out of being this sort of mirror world person. And it was interesting to me, and because there were already magic mirrors in the Colossus of Elorin, I thought, boom, that's an easy way to slip that person in. But yeah. Then the character of Agatha and the horse are not. I just wanted some of that Clash of the Titans fun in there. And mm-hmm. also, adjustable horses are a thing from that actual medieval time.
Adjustable
There's a legendary
horses?
French horse. I think it's called, so I'm off the top of my head, but I think it's like Bayard, something along those lines.
Uh-huh. We're not editing this, so just keep talking.
Yeah, no, I know. So that's why I'm saying it's just off the top of my head. But this is a real thing where if you look, you'll find tapestries of this horse where there's three riders astride the horse. It's because the horse could adjust itself to accommodate more riders. This was a legendary Whoa. Property of the horse. And this in French medieval lore, this was a thing, this heroic horse. I might be conflating two things because they also have there's another horse that's very legendary, but they were super into their horses around that time, and the horses did have these kinds of properties. So I thought that'll be cool. And then there's the Jean Cocteau Beauty and the Beast, the name of the horse, and there is Magnifique. So I just lifted it.
All right, yeah.
So there you go.
Nice. I like that.
But I was surprised to find that these adjustable horses were going on. And I love any kind of medieval artwork because it's so bizarre.
When we were talking about the clockwork stuff, mm-hmm. when we were doing the shadow? No. The
automaton thing?
What was the story? Not the shadow.
Enter Sandman?
Sandman. The Sandman. Mm-hmm. Why did I think the shadow? We did cover a story, Shadow, not too long ago.
Yeah, that was an Edith Nesbitt thing. Yeah.
I get so confused. But mm-hmm. in that, there, you know, they found the one that could do the drawings. The real automaton.
Yes.
They discovered it. They didn't know who built it. And they were trying to repair it, get it to work. And finally, when they got it to work, it was a mystery for, like, I think decades, maybe even longer. It might have been 100 years of, like, where they didn't know who did it. When they finally fixed it, got it to work, and on the last drawing, it said, it like wrote, built by the guy that built it. Like, there was a mystery that was solved.
Oh,
that was
how cool.
In the machine. Like, the machine had that information stored in it.
Wow.
Man, those clockwork things, those are crazy. I can understand why somebody at that time would think, well, why not just make a person like that could walk around and fool people?
Of course. Yeah. Okay, your mind goes right there. But I always liked in fantasy games with like a clockwork steed or any kind of clockwork creature. That's in Magic the Gathering. And
oh, yeah.
Obviously is in D&D as well, I think. So, mm-hmm. yeah, that was why I wanted to bring that in there.
It's good
Here,
stuff.
I'll read another thing. Dental death. When a patient dies in the chair, supposedly the dentist will carry the corpse to the restroom, leaving him to be discovered. That's the legend. This happens sometimes when a dentist has two treatment rooms and tries to work on patients in both chairs at once. One time, a dentist had his corpse come walking back in since the trip downstairs to the restroom had revived the patient who was only deeply sedated.
What?
I think the people are just scared of the dentist, and so they'll come up with reasons to say they're shady, right?
Uh-huh.
That's got to be what that is.
That's preposterous to me.
Did you have to get a lot of dentistry done when you were young?
Well, I mean, we went because I think my dad, because he was UAW, you know, he got mm-hmm. union, we had dental, so we went every 6 months, you know, you had the check, the cleaning and all that stuff. Hated it.
Yeah,
but I got fillings, you know. I had a bunch of
but you had a bunch braces of, or
no, I never had braces. My top teeth are pretty straight. My bottom teeth are really crooked. I haven't thought about that recently, like maybe I should get my teeth fixed. Because I kind of don't like my bottom teeth.
But you moved to England, I'm sorry I had to say. If your top teeth are straight, then you're in good shape over there.
Yeah, that's... I think the thing with England, most people have fine teeth.
Of course. That's the thing.
But there is a strange... It seems almost acceptability for having really bad teeth. Because I've seen a few people with really bad teeth that I think, whoa, why haven't you done something about those teeth? Like, that can't be comfortable. Like, how bad those teeth are.
Two things that I found really odd. Heather and I watched a video that was... It's a YouTube thing where it's a woman who moved to Germany. And she's like, what are odd things about this country that, you know, aren't the same as home? Well, she was from the UK.
Mm-hmm.
Which wasn't readily apparent at first, but there were a couple of things she said that kind of shocked me. And one of them is they're really, you go to the dentist like every 6 months or every year here. I was like, yeah. And then the other thing that surprised me is she said, and you might not be, you have to go to the gynecologist every year as well. That's something that they do here in Germany. And Heather goes, whoa, why wouldn't you be doing that anyway? That's odd. You know,
yeah.
So that also didn't seem to be I thought, is that a UK thing where you don't go to the gynie?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Yeah. Well, I thought that was not a thing for her.
Obviously, I don't go. But I'm gonna,
this was a younger person.
Rachel, and find out what the story is with going to the gynecologist, getting the checkout.
I know that people check into this show to get their gynecological facts.
They
so
do.
If we could get more information on that.
Yeah, because we know a lot about things that have nothing to do with that. Well, that kind of concludes our...
But I have to ask you, because all we did was write down some topics here, and you have a topic that says Cafe Delights, and I have no idea what that means.
I just wanted to talk about places I like to eat and ask you about places that you like to eat. That was it, really.
Oh, okay.
So there's this place in Haworth called... Cobbles and Clay, which is like my local favorite cafe that I just love to death. I love the people that work there. I love the way it looks. I love the, you know, that main street in Haworth, that very old, you know, it's been there for hundreds of years and it still looks like they shoot stuff there all the time. Love it. I love that place. I used to love in Los Angeles, Lazy Daisy.
Uh-huh. Yep. Which is still where I go still.
Still there, right?
Yep. And it's open air too. So it's been easy to go there during this pandemic. You know, there's space to eat. It was always that way. Whereas other places set up, you know, outdoor dining in their parking lots. And I'm just not into being in a parking lot while I eat, you know. I don't like having half an experience. So I actually don't go to restaurants at all and haven't for a year and a half.
Yeah, but you get takeaway still.
I get, What are you, crazy? My own cooking? I'm a pretty good cook, but, you know, you get tired of your own stuff.
Oh, of course. Yeah, you got to change it up. Have a little something different. And I hope everybody enjoyed this little something different that Chad and I have done these last 2 weeks.
Nice. That was a nice segue. Yeah, I hope so. And if you didn't enjoy it, guess what? It's over now.
It's over.
Which is its own form of enjoyment.
I'm sure we're going to find out in the comments our awesome patrons, because that's the only people that are going to be listening to this, are people that patronize our show. They're going to let us know if they like this stuff or not.
They will be patronizing us in a different way, I think, in the comments. Oh, by the way, speaking of, you know, Ray's Diner here around the corner.
Yes.
It's a very famous diner. It appears in lots of film and TV and stuff. But also on YouTube, we were watching a block, or had on in the background a block of videos from 1982 MTV. It was like nascent MTV when ugly people were still on there talking about dental work and stuff like that. It wasn't popular yet enough that people realized what was going on. So it was all these 70s bands on there.
Yeah.
You know, they're seriously getting really excited about Billy Joel and Emerson, Lake and Palmer. It's just odd to hear MTV because they so quickly transitioned to Michael Jackson and Duran Duran and Cyndi Lauper and what we think of as the origins of that. Well,
video killed the radio star.
Video killed the radio. Well, that was their first video. People quickly got the hang of it. But anyway, one of these old school videos had a girl dancing out in front of Ray's Diner. And this was probably shot in 1981. So it was really cool because it's virtually unchanged. So it was neat to see it.
Yeah.
From so long ago.
Yeah. Yeah. Those are nice LA times. Beautiful times. Well, thank you, patrons.
Thank
you. Probably we won't do this again for another year when we need a break.
Yeah.
But maybe it was fun.
Who knows?
It was fun for me.
It was a cafe delight, is what it was. All right, man. Well, we're going to be back with a very special episode next time. So if you didn't like this, get ready, because there's a real good one coming up.
It's there is.
In what month? September. And that's all we have for this week. I'm Chad Pfeiffer.
I'm Chris Lackey, and you've been listening to Strange Studies of Strange Stories.
At hppodcraft.com and Patreon.
hppodcraft.com.